Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada, and your moderator for this morning. Today is Friday, August the 9th, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. This morning we're on page 38, the first paragraph. On through the years, down to such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? And we're commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Colleen M., 12 Traditions, Anita L., and readers of our text, Anne-Marie M., Katie G. The ID number for yesterday, Thursday, August the 8th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 216. 41 and the 10 a.m. meeting 21642. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Colleen M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning, Colleen M. from Maryland, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Colleen M. And this morning, Anita L. will read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Anita.
Good morning, everyone. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating. Should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige. prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Have a great day, everyone. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we are resuming our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 38, the first paragraph, On Through the Years, reading through to Such a Man Would Be Crazy, Wouldn't He? And commenting on that. Anne Marie, would you like to get us started, please?
Yes, yes, I would, Lynn. Thank you so much. I'd love to get us started. On through the years, this conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. Finally, he can no longer work. His wife gets a divorce, and he is held up to ridicule. He tries every known means to get the jaywalking out of his head. He shuts himself up in an asylum, hoping to mend his ways. But the day he comes out, he races in front of a fire engine, which breaks his back. Such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovered from compulsive eating through working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this example, this is my favorite chapter, working with others. And this Jay Walker is identical to the way that I tried so hard to stop compulsively eating, to stop thinking about it. Yeah, I would just say, okay, I'm not going to give in. Driving home from work, I would say, all right, I'm not going to go to the convenience store. And I'd have my hands on the wheels, tight on the wheels, driving home, thinking, I'm not going to stop. And then I turn into the convenience store, and I go in, and I'm looking up and down the aisles. What's going to fill me? What do I need? And I had no idea. Like Jim, who had a few words with the boss, I didn't have a clue that things were bothering me at work, because I would pop something in my mouth if something bothered me. And I just was so clueless of how I was feeling. But this one line, he tries every known means to get the jaywalking out of his head. I tried every known means to get the thought of compulsively eating out of my hand. The only thing I could think of when I was, you know, I was thinking it was a comfort that I was going to get. I was thinking about what I was getting out of it, not thinking about what it was going to do to me. And I remember having a therapist or someone had asked me, what is the compulsive eating doing for you? And I would think, it's not doing anything for me. It's, you know, isolating me. It's getting me sick. I couldn't think of one thing that it was doing for me. And I could not see what it was doing to me. That part of my compulsive eating was amnesia. I couldn't remember. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Charlotte T.
Janet B.
Charlotte T.
Jen A.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard because I didn't do very well. I believe I heard a Carolyn G., Janet B., and Charlotte somebody or other. Who else said their name that I missed?
Carolyn G.
Okay.
Jen A.
Okay.
Priscilla A.
All right, thank you. Let me tell you who I heard, please, and we'll go with this lineup. And I'm sorry for people that I missed. I do have Carolyn G., Janet B., Charlotte, Harlan G., Jen A., Priscilla, and Pete B. So Carolyn G., could you please get us started and let us know where you're calling from? Okay, maybe there was no Carolyn G. All right, let's move down to Janet B. then, please. Hi, Janet. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eating in North Carolina. So I'm looking at the very end of the paragraph, and it says, be crazy, wouldn't it? Crazy, insane. And that's how I was, right? That's how we all were, right? That's why we're here. I couldn't get myself to stop thinking about food. I couldn't think of the consequences strongly enough to stop me from doing it, the same way that obviously I stopped myself from putting my hand on a hot stove because I know it'll burn me. I couldn't do that with food, and that's crazy. That's insane. So what am I to do? There used to be this old saying that they'd say at meetings, just keep the memory green. But right, our book is telling us we can't keep the memory green. I can't think strongly enough to stop eating compulsively. So what do I do? What's my solution? And the only solution put forth in this book is a miracle, right? Chapter 5 tells us once the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. That means once I get my spiritual part, my soul in order, by some strange quirk, God removes the food obsession. I straighten out mentally and physically. So what do I do, right? And I think the first thing I can do if I'm at this point is to say a prayer. Even if I don't believe in God, I can say a prayer that goes something like this. God, I don't know if you exist. And if you exist, I don't know if you care about me. But if you're there and you do care, I need help. And then I can set about doing everything that I think this God, if he existed, would want me to do. I could start being rigorously honest. I could start doing self-sacrificing acts to benefit others. I could start spending time every morning trying to connect with God. And then I can, once I do that, I can start seeing how this God is faithful and is worthy of me surrendering my life to him. And then I can surrender my life, which means just simply doing what I think God would have me do, clean up my past, and spend time connecting with him and helping others. And that is the only solution this book offers for the crazy, for the insanity that was my life. Our book says that the age of miracles is still with us, and it really is. And these 12 steps and this big book give us a roadmap. It could be called like How to Have a Miracle in 12 simple but not always easy steps. And it really, truly works. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet B. Next, we have Charlotte, followed by Harlan G. And Charlotte, if we could have your last initial and where you're calling from, please.
It's Charlotte T. from Nashville. I'm very humbled to even share. There are so many people who know so much and have such incredible experiences in the face of the jaywalking. But I felt the need to say that I'm definitely the jaywalker. I have managed to only get slightly injured now. I haven't been hit by the last vehicle where he breaks his back, but I'm 67 and I have always relapsed, and I've maintained an 80-pound weight loss. A beautiful, intimate relationship with my higher power, a routine where I now get up and listen to this meeting and meditate before and spend time with God after and have sponsees. But the idea that we can't stop thinking about the jaywalking, we can't stop thinking about that ease and comfort that we get when we can overeat. And there was something in my prayers this morning that said, what if that was just an alarm that said that thought of jaywalking or that thought of it was just an alarm that said, turn to God now, because I cannot remember the pain of getting hit by the bus or the car or the whatever and end up in the asylum. I can't in that moment. So can I let that be the alarm sounding for me to say, God, you're the bridge between me and that realization of the pain that this brings. You're the only strand of sanity that I have in a moment like this. I'm not capable of putting my thoughts aside for how it will be ease and comfort if I take that bite. So I'm asking you, God, to be that bridge between the loss of the memory of the pain and what you would have me do now. What would you have me do next? I'm not even sure I know what I'm talking about, but I know there's something in that. There's something in that that God wants me to figure out. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlotte T. from Nashville. Next, we have Harlan G., followed by Jen A. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. There are two characteristics to this disease, a physical allergy and a twist of the mind. The twist of the mind is accompanied by a sidekick called the mental blank spot, but essentially two characteristics, mental blank spot, twist of the mind, physical allergy. But there are three properties of this disease that this chapter has dedicated itself to. Those three properties are: the disease is permanent, the disease is progressive, and if untreated, the disease is fatal. The recovery rate from cancer is actually higher than the recovery rate from compulsive overeating. Ponder that for a minute. But if we look at this paragraph and we look at everything we have written in this chapter or we've read in this chapter, and we look at the jaywalker in every sentence of the scenario of the jaywalker, his condition keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and it will continue to get worse whether we are eating or not. Abstinence does not treat this illness. The man of 30 was bone dry for 25 years, yet he pulled out his bottle and carpet slippers. He was dead within 4 years. In the scenario of the jaywalker, we're looking at insanity, and we're looking at the progressive nature of this disease. And this disease has one way out, one thing that can happen. And we're going to read this at the very last paragraph of this chapter. It says, neither he nor anyone else has any effective mental defense against the first drink. The alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. Despite our desperate desire to stop, despite our necessity to stop, despite everything in our environment screaming at us to stop, we cannot stop. Not that we will not, we cannot stop without a spiritual awakening. Without a spiritual awakening, spiritual experience is fast, spiritual awakening slow over time, I will be dead very, very shortly. And the illustration of this jaywalker is immensely important, as it is a beautiful illustration of the insanity and the progressive nature of the disease. I'll use my last few seconds to say yesterday was Penny C's birthday, but it was also Dr. Bob's birthday. So let's keep in mind that Dr. Bob is somebody, and Penny C, that we love and we owe a lot to. Thanks, Lynn, for your service. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Harlan G. from Arizona. Next up is Jen A., followed by Priscilla H. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Lynn. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for moderating today. I appreciate it. Oh, wow. So my name is Jen A., and I'm a covered here in Littleton, Colorado, by God's grace and mercy. You know, I'm just thankful that he gave me a 12-step program like Overeaters Anonymous. And as crazy as that sounds, because some days I'm just like, really? I'm eating a sponsee. I got to do this. I got to do that. But it's saving my life. And, you know, year after year, I get on my knees and I thank God for the gift that he's given me. This chapter more about alcoholism is the Oops, I Did It Again chapter. You know, it's the Britney Spears song that sings over and over in my head. Like, how come I couldn't stop? How come I couldn't stop? And I love how it just says it right here in one word, the idea. The idea was in my head. And my head and my thinking is going to get me every single time. Because I put a story in my mind and I listen to it and then I believe it and then I catastrophize over it. How come I don't do that so much more today than I did before? Because today when I get that idea in my head, I do listen to it and I start to believe it. And then I have a call with my sponsor and I work it through the steps 1 through 7. And then God shows me that I don't have to believe the lies that are in my head and that that's not really true. You know, I don't know what normal people think, because I'm not normal and that's okay. I am crazy. You know, I am a little foolish and I can get insane at times. I have absurd ideas, just like this man right here on this page. That's why I identify in with him. But, you know, the day came. I broke my back. I was in the back alley of Trader Joe's and I was dying. 6 convenience stores in, bakery bags and boxes, you name it, toothbrush down my throat, vomit out the door. It takes what it takes. It took what it took for me. And I'm so thankful that I don't have these obsessive and insane ideas around the food anymore. So I look at this paragraph today and ask myself, okay, well, what are the ridiculous and crazy ideas that you have today? Because they still come. They just don't come around food anymore. And that's where I get to continue to work the 12 steps around those things that come up in my mind, thinking I can manage and control a 17-year-old teenage daughter, thinking I can help my son who's 22 and off on his first job. No, that's not my business. It's not my problem. But I always got my, you know, fingers stuck in stuff and meddled in stuff that didn't belong to me. And I'm still doing it today, even at work, in relationships. So I'm just glad about all these warnings and that they keep driving me back to one thing, and that's God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much, Lynn. Have a great day.
Thank you, Jen A. from Colorado. So now we have Priscilla H., followed by Pete B. Good morning, Priscilla.
Hi, thanks. Priscilla H., grateful to be recovered physically and recovering in every other way over here in New Jersey. And as some other people have shared this week, I used to think that the Jaywalker story was just ridiculous. I thought it was silly even until I realized it was my story or part of it. And here's my metaphorical version of that story. I didn't run out into traffic for the thrill of it, as best I can tell. For me, it was always to save something, to help somebody else, to rescue. Oh, there's a little hat or a mitten some child lost while crossing the street. I better run out there and get it before 1,000 filthy tires roll over it. Or maybe I would say, oh, there's a little injured bird. I've got to save it from the traffic. And meanwhile, I was oblivious to the cars and the trucks and the bicycles that were crashing into each other to try to avoid hitting that crazy old woman who keeps running out into the street. This is a metaphor for me. Trying to be the perfect sponsor, share the perfect share, lead the perfect meeting, and so forth and so on for 30-some-odd years. And meanwhile, I was in and out of whatever food plan I was trying to follow at the time. Then just before COVID hit, along came a young woman that I call my Girl Scout because she got me out of the street. You know, scouts are known for getting old ladies across the street. She gave me the Vision phone number. And then when COVID shut down my face-to-face meeting, I came to this Vision meeting. Today, I'm learning to watch the traffic light, which is my higher power that I call my BFF. When God turns the go light on, I go, meaning that I speak up. And when God says, don't go, turns that light on, I zip it. I no longer dash out into the street, or at least I hardly ever do. And if I do, then that's where step 10 comes in. And I try, I do my best to make my amends the next day. So with that, I'll pass, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Priscilla H. Pete B., you're up. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for taking the meeting. It's great to hear you and appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and I live in Pennsylvania. And, you know, for me, the Jaywalker story was the first one that I could actually relate to as it you know, was impacting my disease at the time, right? Because, you know, I wasn't morbidly obese. I was a garden variety compulsive overeater, defeated by food incomprehensibly on multiple occasions. And, you know, and if you look at what's happening with the Jaywalker, You have a guy who finds a thrill in doing something that other people can do without damage, but he has incidents where it's causing him harm. And then over time, he has mounting body of evidence that is telling him that this is dangerous and you should stop doing it. And over time, he even takes the existing evidence and he manipulates it to fit into his narrative about why he should continue to do it. And see, unfortunately, what happens is once that mental state is established in the compulsive overeater, in the alcoholic, what we have to recognize is that we have become beyond human aid, right? We no longer have this mental defense to rely on, or human powers to reach out to reinforce the memory of my last pain and suffering, right? Or new codes of morals and better philosophies. I now rethink about things. No. That doesn't work. It'll always eventually give out. The only thing that works for the person that has the condition to that extent where they lost the power of choice is to reach into something where the power is. And that power is in God or higher power or whatever you want to call it. Right? There's no outthinking or outworking this mental condition. The only thing that addresses it is a spiritual experience. And what the 12 steps do is it puts in place a process to bring about a spiritual experience. It's not the element of the step that saves us. It's the result of the steps that save us. The results of the process. Right? And I have to remember, I have a mind that will manipulate the data, the existing data, the evidence, and blend it into something that I say works for me. And that's a significant mental condition. Harlan talked about it. We have a physical allergy and a mental illness. The physical allergy never gets recovered. We have people that, you know, we hear on a regular basis, I'm recovered, but yet we continue to talk like we're not recovered. What returns to normal is this mental component of the disease. We get to a point through God's grace and mercy that we are able, I'll finish with this, we are able to bring into consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the pain and suffering caused by food from even a day, a week, or a month ago. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 38, the first paragraph, On Through the Years, ending with, such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Tony B. in Scotland.
Attorney Tony B. Somebody from New Hampshire?
Jane H.
Christina J.
Tina J., okay.
Krista R.
Okay, let me tell you who I got. I'm sorry, I'm still missing that person from New Hampshire. I've got Tony B. from Scotland, somebody from New Hampshire, Tina J. from Florida, and Crystal R. from Toronto. Is there anyone else?
Abby D.
That was Christina J. from North Carolina, Lynn.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Thank you.
That's all right.
Jane S. from New Hampshire.
Patrick O.
Abby D.
Okay, let me tell you who I've got. I'm sorry. I'm missing a lot of people today. I have Tony B. from Scotland, Jane S. from New Hampshire, Tina J. from Florida, Crystal R. from Toronto, and Christina J. Did I miss anybody?
Gabby D.
Is that Gabby D?
Gabby with an A.
All right, let's go with this lineup, please. So Tony B., you're going to start us off, followed by Jane S. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you very much for your service. My name is Tony B. I live in Scotland, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, this is wonderful. I have, you know, it's so important for me to realize I have absolutely no power. I cannot decide to mend my ways. I cannot decide to stay off my alcoholic foods, those ones that I know cause me harm. I cannot decide to be careful when I do eat them. Why? Because the allergy is real and strong. It absolutely requires me, it demands of me that I go back again and again and again. And when I emerge again, I can get up and gather my resolve and string a few days or longer even together, get clean of the allergy, you know, stay away in the sense that he locked himself up in an asylum. I can white knuckle, I can, you know, but I have a crazy mind, and without having experienced an entire psychic change, I will never be satisfied with a life without alcoholic foods, and my untreated mind will drive me back into them again and again. This is a fact, and I can do absolutely nothing about it. It doesn't matter what terrible things occur to me as the consequences. I mean, it doesn't matter how much I hope to mend my ways. I have no power, and I have to give up. I have to surrender, throw in the towel, realize that I, of myself, am absolutely unable to change my behavior, my thinking, my situation. My best ideas are useless. And this is the starting point, this complete deflation. And the authors of the book work really hard to make this point, with all of these illustrations and stories. And this is a really strong one, because it's so important, and we can't make a start until this has really sunk in. And I'm so grateful to be reading it. I'm so grateful to be hearing your shares about it and just remembering it for sure for myself today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jane S. from New Hampshire. Next, we have Next, we have Christina J. from Florida. Good morning, Christina J.
Hi, Lynn. I'm from North Carolina. Cluster of names happening. Oh, thank you, guys. This is just incredible. You know, this is a great paragraph, because in this paragraph, he tries every known means. He shuts himself up. He does this. He does that. I did it all. I tried it all. And I'm exhausting all the ways I'm trying. Isn't that a beautiful thing? This journey of life is bringing me slowly but surely to surrender. Because I will have tried everything. I will be desperate. And there's desperate sadness. There was a desperate sadness that I lived all of my life in this intense effort to stop. You know, I was saturated through and through with the solution to my problem from birth. The rush of the false solution. The thrill it gave me, the joy that I didn't have in my life, my odd, struggling, dysfunctional life, full of me, 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 wanting to get mine, mine, mine. And so the food was always the solution, because it gave me a rush. And you know, the rush didn't last long. And through the years, it got worse and worse, as Harlan said, and as we all know. And I just tried everything to stop it. I chased this idea, that idea, the other idea. And I knew I had a problem with eating. I knew I couldn't stop once I started that sugar. And I figured if I just got rid of the sugar, that my life would change. And of course, we know abstinence alone does not work. And slowly but surely, my spirit brought me to this beautiful program of OA, because all the diets stopped working. And when my second husband died of cancer, I yet went back and tried to start the OptiFast program through Kaiser. And I was so starved and lonely after his death that I just couldn't starve myself anymore. And the diets stopped working at that point. I just couldn't put myself in another deprivation place, you know, and this pain that we put ourselves in trying to control this thing. For me, I couldn't do it anymore. And so the pain of the problem got huge. And I finally found a way to the solution with God's grace and mercy. One little step, one puzzle piece, one breadcrumb on the path at a time. Sorry for the use of the word breadcrumb. But anyway, I found my way to vision eventually. And I heard that magical word, recovered. And I was ready to hear it, because I couldn't believe that it was possible. After I'd tried everything in the world, people were actually recovering. What a concept. And I wanted it, and I cried. I wanted that sunlight of the spirit. And because of this program, you know, life is not a bubblegum butterflies and, you know, all that stuff. Life is hard. You know, like Janae spoke about, I got other stuff that's coming up. And that's the beauty of the program, because my soul is wanting to heal from the deep dis-ease it's had all of my life. And this program allows me to do it one step at a time. And I'll finish up with this. If you're out there and you're just new in this, just hang on, man. Just keep coming, keep trying, because one day you're going to have that grace that's going to flood your body with the willingness to take the steps. And you're going to be sick of everything and you're going to be ready. So with that, I pass. Thank you. Love you all.
Thank you, Christina J. Jane S. from New Hampshire, you're up. Okay, maybe I misheard that. Let's move on to Tina.
Yes, good morning, this is
Jane. Please.
Wait, sorry, Jane, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My name is Jane S. from New Hampshire. Thank you very much. I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everyone's shares. And thank you, God, for bringing me back once again to vision. I was out there for a couple years in relapse. And was able to make it back with God's grace in the end of June. And all I can say is it doesn't get better. This disease is progressive, and it is permanent. And I I had to really get honest. And I think what's happened to me this time is that God brought me to a place. I've been in the parent program for over 15 years. And instead of identifying in a way, I was just identifying out. I was finding all the little loopholes that I possibly could. And I never really, truly, honestly cleaned house. I swept a lot of stuff under the rug. And I made some amends, but I didn't do them all. I did some step work, but I didn't do it all. And I never really finished. And so this time around, God brought me to my knees after a beautiful trip to Italy. I came home, and I was still trying to eat the way I ate in Italy. And it doesn't work. I was trying to control it, trying to manage it, playing God in all areas of my life. And God brought me back here. And I'm hearing things differently this time. I'm hearing the truth. I can identify in. I do see myself as and my eating behaviors, my food behaviors, my behaviors in life, period, as being insane. And I get it today. So I'm grateful to say I am actually on vacation, and I am finishing up almost 10, 11 days of being on vacation. I have stayed abstinent. I've stayed in the program. I have to travel 10 minutes every morning and afternoon to come and listen to the meeting because there's no Wi-Fi. I have to make I have to go outside of the house and down into town to make my outreach calls. I've had my plan of eating and contact with my sponsor every day. And I've been doing my writing. I just am finishing up my fourth step and about ready to share my fifth step when I get back to the States. And all I can say is thank you, God. I've been doing self-sacrifice every morning. I've been
time,
doing,
please.
All I know is just I'm very grateful to be where I am today. And thank you, God. And thank you for everyone on this meeting. You're saving my life. I appreciate it. And I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane S. from New Hampshire. Next, we've got Crystal R. from Toronto, Canada, followed by Abby D. Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning. This is Crystal R., recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. I always thought it was kind of funny. There's over 30 personal stories, real life personal stories in the big book. And the one that I relate to the most is the only one that's not true. There's only one story in the big book that's not true. It's this one. And that's the one that just like gets to me every single time. And the reason is because it really reflects to me that my bottom, the sort of bottom of the barrel, like I'm done with this, is not based on any circumstance, because no circumstance will ever be so bad that it will stop me. The only time I hit my bottom was when I realized that there is no bottom for me. I will keep going on forever, because this disease had really ravaged every aspect of my life. My It had affected my job and my career. It had affected all of my family relationships. My health was in shambles. I couldn't make or keep friends. I couldn't be in any kind of romantic relationship. I had never been in any kind of romantic relationship. I couldn't even do my hobbies. My finances were a mess. With all the money I spent on food and its consequences, I could have put a down payment on a house. My home was a complete mess. Really, this disease had destroyed everything I ever wanted in my life, and it made no difference as to whether I was going to pick up the food and start the same cycle all over again. Even when I was told that I would not live past my 30s, my doctors had told me I would not live past my 30s, I actually actively decided, I don't care. I'm going to eat what I want to eat, and I will die. How can you save someone who doesn't even want to be saved, who has decided to die so that they can continue to eat their alcoholic foods? The only thing that saved me was a miracle. It was putting down the food long enough to work the steps, and that resulted in a complete rearrangement. I had to be completely rearranged on the inside so that I could be brought back to sanity and have that self-preservation instinct that every other human being on the planet seems to have. And today, it's all fixed in my head thanks to the steps. I know now I'm free because I know that if I pick up even one cookie, even one bite of food outside of my three meals, it will kill me. It's not that it will eventually kill me. To me, it's like I'm already dead. Like the disease almost killed me. And if I ever go back out, it will finish the job. I really believe that. But what's really amazing is that unlike the jaywalker, you know, once your skull is crushed, your skull's crushed. But for me, the miracle is that everything the disease took from me has been restored 100-fold over in recovery. So I can't even believe how my health, my body, my family relationships, my home, my job, my romantic life, like everything has been restored in this in recovery. So we have hope beyond what the jaywalker even had. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Crystal R. from Toronto, Canada. Now we have Abby D. And Abby, can you tell us where you're calling from, please?
Hi, everyone. Good morning. This is Abby D., recovered in Michigan from bulimia and compulsive eating. And I'm grateful to be here listening to this meeting the first time in, like, I don't know, almost a couple weeks. Maybe like 11 days or something that I haven't had Wi-Fi because I've been on a road trip with my husband, a camping road trip all along like the coast of northern Michigan and in the UP, and it's been like absolutely gorgeous. I'm standing here in Traverse City, Michigan right now looking out at the bay, and I'm grateful to hear about the jaywalker because the jaywalker is someone that like I can be that person even without food. Like, yeah, it's talking about going back and back and back and back to the food or the liquor, but I can do that in my behaviors of life, just like, you know, doing the same thing over and over and feeling that, like, emotional discontent. And I have to look at my part, and I'm grateful for these steps that show me, like, where is my part? What am I doing or not doing? What am I saying or not saying? How am I behaving or not behaving? And, when I look at that and I can change my own behavior, then I have peace and serenity that God will just control the outcome and that things will be good. And so really grateful for these steps. I am seeing firsthand what it looks like to be sober without working steps from someone that I know. And I don't know what made me get it, and it's a miracle and a phenomenon and unexplainable, but I'm glad I have God in my life today. So my husband and I can enjoy this camping trip. I've been camping for like 11 days, and I'm having like the most beautiful time. And I'm not stressed out about not being able to make calls or not being able to, you know, hurry up, grab my phone. Like, I have a relationship with God now, and I've been abstinent and, absent and recovered for, thank God, 6 years. So with that, I pass, and it's good to hear everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Abby D. from Michigan. We have time for two more shares. Who would like that time?
Patrick O.
Lee H.
Hi, I'm Drufa from Toronto.
Oh, and we've got Lee H. Patrick, please go ahead. Patrick, press star one, please. Patrick O, press star one, please.
Hello, this is Patrick recovering from Tennessee. Recovering compulsive eater from Tennessee. And I just wanted to quick share that my last relapse definitely showed me that it gets progressively worse. I got heavier and heavier than I ever did before. Or I just could not stop and got to the point where I kept going to meetings, face-to-face meetings here in Nashville, but I just couldn't stop. And I got to the point where I just didn't even care anymore and just kept eating and eating. I, by the grace of God, someone else here in Nashville started working with someone from this meeting. And then I also worked with that person and I've been abstinent. This has been about 9 months now, and I'm so grateful for that. I am dually addicted, so I've been actually now working with a different sponsor, different program, just went through the doctor's opinion, and we're doing it the same way pretty much, working through the big book. And I just read the doctor's opinion, and I've been working on trying to be aware of how I'm trying to control and enjoy and the powerlessness that I see in my mind, especially with my thinking. And it's been really amazing that just to see this and start in journaling and writing and taking inventory around the first step. And I'm getting some freedom from that just by practicing the principles in the instructions here in the big book again. And I'm really grateful for that. That's all I really wanted to say. I just want to say I am available to sponsor people and I am on the list. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick O from Tennessee. And Lee H., you'll be our last share this morning. And where are you calling from, Lee?
Well, good morning, Lynn. This is Lee H., also from Tennessee. And, I'm kind of so glad I got in under the wire. But this is just starting to really be impactful to me just to see these examples, the suddenly with the whiskey and the milk, and now we're looking at the jaywalker, and we'll soon be talking about Fred. And these, to me, are just examples of the brokenness in my thinking. And it gets so deep. These are such deep things to me because these things really did cause me to get into food, just little tiny thoughts that became big. And, it is a fatal. And our choices, we have lost the power of choice when we get to these things. And I'm just so grateful that in these rooms I came to see that there is a higher power who can help me, who can, if I just, call on him, I still look at food. I still have to, fix brownies for my family. And, every now and then the thought occurs to me, it's like, well, I wonder if I took a bite. I wonder if it really would cause me to start eating them again compulsively. And today I am so grateful that I know that it would, and I know it would be worse. And I'm just so thankful that I'm guarded, I'm protected today. As long as I keep doing this work, as long as I keep seeking my higher power every day. So thanks so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lee H. from Tennessee. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, Friday, August the 9th, 2024, 7 a.m., is 21644. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Katie G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, Lynn. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. KDG recovered in Boston. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God if you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you